Amber is a stone, but it is not very much used in the West because, unless skillfully polished, it is rather dull. Amethyst. Many bishops wear an amethyst in the ring which the devout kiss on the bishop's finger. An amethyst, which is a violet or wine color, makes one tranquil. In other words, the molecular vibration of the material which we call the amethyst oscillates at such a period of frequency that it retrodynes with belligerent vibrations of a human and causes those vibrations to slow down and become tranquil. The amethyst was used as a tranquilizer in the Far East long before aspirin took over that field. Antipaths. This is a stone which is quite black. It looks something like a highly polished piece of coal of the anthracite variety. It is little used now in the West because of its complete blackness. It has been used, however, as the background to a superimposed cameo of ivory. Beryl. St. Thomas is the patron saint of the beryl. It is stated that he used the yellow beryl for curing diseases of the liver. The beryl normally is of a green coloration. It is a stone which helps in the matter of digestion. Carnelian. Some people call the carnelian a bloodstone. It has a vibration which damps down the pulses of the blood, and it is truly a fact that if a person has congestion of blood in the head, the congestion is relieved very greatly if the frontal lobes and the site of the atlas be stroked with a smooth carnelian. Carnelians are sometimes opaque, but the best ones are translucent. Catochytis. This is really a remarkable stone found in some of the Mediterranean islands, particularly Corsica. It is a stone which is magnetic to human skin so that if you rub your hands together and then touch the catochytis, that stone will stick to the hand. Provided, of course, that it be not too heavy. The Corsicans use such a stone to protect them from being hypnotized. Chalcedony, in certain backward countries, or are they really advanced? Chalcedony are used powdered. It helps to pass gallstones. The chalcedony powder causes dilation of the gallbladder and all passages connected thereto. Thus gallstones which had been impacted into the wall of the gallbladder would be passed out without an operation. Crystal. Crystal is a very peculiar form of rock. It is clearer than glass, and has extremely great powers in the field of crystal gazing. Those who are in any way gifted with the ability of clairvoyance will find that this increases with the use of a piece of flawless crystal. The crystal has a vibration which is compatible with that of the third eye. It strengthens the third eye, strengthens one's seership. In various parts of Ireland, little crystal balls are set in silver rings, and it is believed that these are able to attract favorable responses from the Irish leprechauns. Priests in bygone ages in the Far East would go out in their search parties and find a lump of crystal in the Andes or in the Himalayas. They would carefully chip off rough edges, and through years and years would carve the piece of rock into spherical shape. Then generation after generation of priests would polish the crystal by using finer and finer sand and water, the sound being embedded in soft leather. At last the crystal would be ready for religious use, seeing the future, seeing the will of the gods. Diamond. The diamond is a close cousin to a lump of coal. It is merely a piece of carbon which has been given a higher education. In other words, it vibrates at a higher frequency. It is often believed that a diamond renders one immune from poisons and madness. In the health line, a diamond was believed to cure most illnesses. At one time in India, the Koh-i-Noor diamond was dipped in water and swished around with the intention of imparting some of its qualities to the water. As the person who held the diamond did not necessarily wash his hands before, then no doubt some qualities were so imparted. The resulting dirty water was given to the patient to drink, and such was the faith in India in those days that often a cure was effected. It is also understood that diamonds are very effective in obtaining the favors of the lady of one's desire, particularly if the diamond is wrapped up in a mink coat. But this, of course, is merely hearsay. Emerald. The green emerald has a reputation of being able to cure eye afflictions, and throughout the course of time people came to believe absolutely in the power of the emerald to overcome illnesses of the eye. It occurred to some warlock, or witch, or priest, They are all much the same, that if the emerald could cure eye illnesses, then it could also ward off the evil eye. And so it came to pass that emeralds were worn around the neck with the idea that if a person possessed of the evil eye looked at such a wearer, all evil influences would be warded off and reflected back to the evil eye, with singularly disastrous results to the latter. There is much evidence in the East that emeralds actually did help in the alleviation of eye complaints. Garnet. This is a stone which apparently now is not very popular, but at one time it was worn with the hope of protecting the wearer from skin diseases and danger. It had to be worn actually in contact with the body, and instead of being used in rings as at present, it was put in a little mounting and worn around the neck, usually arranged so that it was right over the heart. When danger of ill health was present, a stone acclimatized to its wearer would become dull and lusterless. As the danger of illness abated, the stone would return to its original brilliance. At present in Europe, people wear garnets in the belief that it gives them constancy in love. Jade. Many people think of jade as a green stone, but one can have jade of quite a number of different shades. It can be almost clear, for example, or yellow, or varying shades of green, blue, or even black. Jade is a stone which can be carved and worked by those who have such skill. The Chinese, before communism, worked jade into very beautiful ornaments and statues. The Chinese businessman of pre-communist days used to have his hands inside his sleeves. If you remember, they had very large sleeves, and often an astute businessman would keep his hands inside his sleeves and would clasp a talisman made of jade. He would ask the jade to guide him in a profitable business deal. In the medical sense, it is stated that a green jade could, by its particular vibration, cure dropsy and similar afflictions relating to the urinary system. Jet. Jet is a black stone. Its correct name is Gagitis. It is a stone which was of particular importance in the time of the Druids in the British Isles. A jet knife was used for the druidic sacrifices at Stonehenge. In Ireland, even at the present time, particularly on the west coast where the wild Atlantic beats against the great rocks, the Irish fisherman's wife will burn a small piece of jet stone while praying for his safe return from the perils of the turbulent sea. Before the days of dentists, people used powdered jet put around an aching tooth. Probably the sharpness of the powder gave them something else to think about, but apparently it worked in curing toothache. It also cured headache and stomachache. Lapis lazuli. This is a stone of particular history in Egypt and in India. Many plaques were inscribed on lapis lazuli cylinders, giving high esoteric knowledge. Lapis lazuli was known as one of the sacred stones, one of the stones used in the performance of the higher mysteries. It was sacred because of its beauty, but in the medical sense it was stated to avert miscarriage and abortions. Onyx. In the East, this is regarded as a stone of misfortune. It is an invitation to those possessed of the evil eye, and apparently it used to be quite good practice to disguise a stone of this type and make it resemble something else, or embed it in something else, and then give it to one's enemy with the conviction that the poor wretch would get more than he expected. Opal. This is another stone which is very unfortunate. The smoky stone mined largely in Australia often had bad influences, and the occultist could detect malignant radiations. Some people claim that opals are extremely good for those suffering from eye diseases, but if one is fortunate enough to obtain a black opal which still is light enough so that one may see the ruby flares in it, then that may be considered to be a bringer of good fortune, and to give one remarkably keen sight. Ruby. This stone is stated to protect one from all manner of infectious diseases. It is stated that rubies prevent one from having typhoid, bubonic, and other plagues. As in the case of diamonds, the better type of ruby was often swished around in water, or even left in water for a time, and then the patient was given the water to drink when suffering from intestinal pains. It has been known also for a person suffering from cancer of the intestines to swallow a ruby which was, in the course of nature, recovered, cleaned, and swallowed again, and it is stated quite definitely that a case is known where cancer was arrested by this means. Sapphire. Many people confuse sapphires, the turquoise, and lapis lazuli, but whichever name you give it, the remarks referred to under lapis lazuli will apply in the case of the sapphire and the turquoise. Touchstones. Stones, as we have seen, are, like all other substances, merely a mass of molecules in motion. The sensation which can be imparted to a person may be for good or for evil. There are stones which radiate misfortune and cause grave disharmony within the body. But there are also stones which make one become tranquil, and these are called tranquilizer touchstones. Centuries and centuries ago, long before the age of aspirins, the ancients, the adepts, and the magic makers of old could cure humanity of their various nervous and mental ills. They could bring tranquility into the homes of people. In far-off China, in Tibet, in the holy temples of India, and in the great temples of the Incas, the Aztecs, and the Mayas, priests laboriously shaped stones by hand, stones whose cunningly contrived contours comforted the human brain, and by flooding that organ with comfort and pleasant tactile sensations calmed the whole of the human mechanism. Unfortunately, the art of making such contoured stones became almost extinct throughout the ages. People stuffed themselves with drugs to depress sensation, because we are in a negative cycle of evolution, and drugs make one negative. Tranquilizer touchstones are available once again. I have made such stones, and I have copyrighted the design because only one particular configuration offers the maximum comfort. A tranquilizer touchstone should be held in either the left or the right hand, it does not matter which. The part with my name should be against the palm, and the ideograph should be at the bottom, leaving the carefully dished portion facing upwards so that it comes under the ball of your thumb. Then your thumb should idly follow the contours in that dished portion. You will find that comfort, ease, and freedom from worry will steal upon you. You will find that your problems will dissolve away like morning mist before the rising sun. You will find that you have such peace of mind as you have not had before. This is not the place to give further details, but you may have seen my advertisements by now. It will suffice to say that if we use the things of nature as intended, then the things of nature can come to our aid. Stones can help us quite as much as fruits and herbal remedies. It should be stated that only a suitably contoured touchstone should be used because the wrong sort can cause irritation instead of tranquility. So, you have been warned. Turquoise. The turquoise is very common in Tibet, where there is a bridge called the Turquoise Bridge. Prayer wheels and charm boxes in Tibet were usually decorated with small turquoise stones because the turquoise was known as a particularly fortunate stone. It was mounted in rings, and worn in the hair. The Tibetan woman used to wear a large framework so that her hair could be displayed to the maximum advantage, and often the frame itself would be decorated with turquoise stones. Turquoise stones are extremely good for giving one improved health. The turquoise is a stone sacred in the Buddhist belief. Supplement C, the stuff we eat. As anyone who has lived on this earth for even a little while will have discovered, we have to eat in order to live, but we should not live merely in order to eat. The human body can be likened to a factory. Materials are taken in and worked and changed in various ways. In our human factory, materials are taken in so that the body may maintain itself, repair tissue which has been damaged or aged, and to drive the muscles which move one about. There also must be enough materials left over so that the body can grow mentally and physically. Humans need four basic types of material in order that tissue may grow or be repaired, and in order that bones may grow or reunite after fracture. Here alphabetically are the four things quite essential to human life. 1. Carbohydrates. 2. Hydrocarbons. 3. Minerals. 4. Protein. Before man became civilized, or considered himself civilized, all mankind was vegetarian, but in those days the appendix, that now troublesome or atrophied organ, had a very useful part in the life of the human body, and as the appendix is just an atrophied stump, then man should not be entirely vegetarian. To be a vegetarian and to be in any way the equivalent of a balanced eater means that one must be eating all the time, because one has to take in vast bulk of a purely vegetarian diet. Mankind became acclimatized to meat, and found that by eating reasonable amounts of meat one could manage with less fruit and vegetables, and so there was more time away from eating to devote to other things. Many people are too bitter. That is, their blood, juices, and tissues contain too much acid, and such people crave bitter or sharp things such as lemons, sour apples, and all manner of things which have a sharp, tangy, acid taste. This is unfortunate because such people get too much acid in the blood and that depletes the blood's capacity for taking carbon dioxide and other waste gases which have to be exhaled. It requires an alkaline blood to absorb gases which have to be carried to the lungs and exhaled, thus making room for oxygen to be inhaled. So, all you who like bitter things, remember that you are upsetting your oxygenation system. In addition, you lay yourself wide open for colds, chest complaints, rheumatism, and nerve upsets. It is unfortunate that the vegetarians often become cranks and faddists, they become extreme. It has already been stated that a vegetarian diet is an ideal diet for those who live in ideal conditions. If one is a vegetarian, and living in the ideal conditions which it demands, there is no such complaint as constipation, because the bulk of waste and rough cellulose with its hydrologic properties lubricates the large intestine, and aids in the expelling of waste products. But again, in order to live as a purely vegetarian person one has to be more or less eating all the time. Constipation is most frequently caused because the blood extracts too much moisture from the intestines. By the time the waste products have reached the descending colon there is not enough moisture in it to make it pliable, or plastic, so that it can be expelled. Such waste matter then adheres quite firmly to the hair-like lining of the colon, and muscular contractions called peristalsis causes pain. People would be less costive if they drank more water. Vitamins are life forces. They are present in the four essential materials which we mentioned before. Vitamins are present in fruit, vegetables, and nuts, and in most of the natural substances which we eat. These life essences are a definite requirement, and if one lacks certain of them one is subject to all manner of unpleasant illnesses. Lack of vitamins, for instance, is the cause of beriberi, and in Japanese prisoner of war camps beriberi could often be cured when the patient could get hold of a little marmite, a most valuable product. In the days of the old sailing ships, before refrigeration and all that, when the wooden walls of England sailed the seas, without having to wonder about the Russian fishing fleets, sailors often suffered from scurvy. This is a skin disease caused by lack of vitamins, and if scurvy is neglected eventually the sufferer fades away, becomes worse and worse in health, and eventually dies. It starts as a skin disease, and then works its way inwards and affects various organs. In the days of those sailing ships English sailors took lime juice aboard because lime juice was rich in vitamins, and this lime juice was issued in much the same way as rum was issued. That lime juice, by the way, is why Americans call English people limeys, because of the lime juice, or lime fruit, consumed aboard British ships. Unless one has adequate vitamins one is not able to break down or to assimilate the minerals which also are necessary to us. A correct mixture of vitamins and minerals must be maintained, otherwise our various glands, such as endocrines, will not function correctly. Then people lack hormones, testosterone, they become sterile, impotent. They become irritable and become victims to all manner of obscure complaints. Here are some of the essential vitamins. Vitamin A, we depend greatly upon vitamin A, which is a substance soluble in fats and oils. It helps to keep the skin in a suitable, pliable and unbroken condition. It helps to prevent infection through abrasions of the skin, and it is a most useful aid in overcoming urinary illnesses. A further advantage is that a sufficient quantity of vitamin A is of great benefit in regulating oxygenation of the brain. Vitamin B1. Vitamin B1 is not soluble by acids, but is destroyed completely by an excessively alkaline condition. Thus, unless we maintain our body juices or secretions at the optimum level between excess acidity and excess alkalinity, we are going to destroy many substances before they can help us at all. Vitamin B1 gives one a good appetite and aids the digestion of that which it has induced us to eat. It helps provide adequate resistance to infection, and is one of the essential materials if we are to have proper growth. Vitamin B2. Vitamin B2 is a water-soluble vitamin. It is a substance particularly essential for good vision. If one lacks this vitamin, one is always having eyesight trouble, and many such ailments can be overcome by attention to the vitamin content of the body. This vitamin assists in the smooth functioning of the alimentary canal from start to finish. It provides one with good digestive powers, and enables one to eat like a horse. If one lacks vitamin B2, the system cannot absorb iron, and further a lack of this vitamin causes severe loss of hair, and so depletes the resources of the body that once suffers from ulcers such as ulcers of the tongue, etc. Vitamin C. Vitamin C is an unstable substance. It cannot be stored very long in the body. Any imbalance will cause attacks on this vitamin, and cause it to be destroyed before it can be properly utilized. One needs to take this substance every day, and one's diet should be so arranged so that there is an adequate supply. Vitamin C is beneficial for bone and tooth growth because it makes it possible for the body to absorb calcium, which, as you know, is a requirement for sound quality bones. Without vitamin C, the body becomes rickety through lack of calcium. Lack of the vitamin causes respiratory troubles, and may make one prone to TB tuberculosis, short for tubercle bacillus, ED. Vitamin D. Vitamin D is another of the vitamins which regulates the calcium and phosphorus absorption, and enables phosphorus to become phosphates. So unless we have vitamin D, we are not able to make the best use of the minerals which we also must have that our body functions may continue. Vitamin D is one of the things which the vegetarian usually lacks, because this is not found in vegetable or fruits. The faddest vegetarian must get his vitamin D from artificial sources instead of going to natural meat. Too much vitamin D will give you severe illness such as acute depression and diarrhea. You will be unable then to retain food long enough for the V, the hair-like tubes in the intestines, to absorb the food, so in effect you will suffer from starvation in the midst of plenty. Vitamin E. Vitamin E, we can go through the alphabet with these letters, is a substance which lodges in the muscles and, unfortunately, rapidly becomes destroyed or excreted. Thus it is that we must have a balanced diet in order to ensure a regular supply of vitamin E. Lack of this produces sterility and miscarriages, and when a child is born it is handicapped from then on. For those who are interested, celery and germ of wheat are the most suitable sources of vitamin E. Now we have dealt with our vitamins, perhaps we should give a note about the minerals which are necessary to us. Minerals. Minerals are quite essential, and the confirmed vegetarian should remember that many minerals are present in meat as well as in fruit and vegetables. Thus, a balanced diet of meat and vegetables and fruit gives a more balanced supply of vitamins and minerals. In the ideal world, people would not eat meat, but we do not live in such idyllic conditions. We have to get up in the morning before we are really ready to eat, then we have to rush through breakfast, rush to catch a bus. At the office we have to work in a cramped and unnatural position. At lunchtime we have to rush out to get some food to keep us going, and at the same time as we are hurrying through our food we are talking to other people. We hasten back to the office, get cramped again, and after that we might do a long journey home too tired, too dispirited, too frustrated, to be in a suitable state to really digest the food which is placed before us. A real vegetarian meal should be a rather leisurely affair lasting most of the day, and it cannot sensibly be accomplished under everyday living conditions. So, for those who are cranky about vegetarianism, they can only be logical if they go to some far-off isle away from the snares, delusions, and illusions of civilization. If they want to stay here, then they are advised to take the path of sweet reasonableness, and eat enough meat to maintain the essential functions of the body. Here are the essential minerals arranged alphabetically. Calcium. Calcium is quite necessary if one is to have strong bones and sound teeth. Calcium is the foundation of our bones and our teeth. Without calcium, one would soon bleed to death even after a slight scratch, because this mineral gives the blood clotting ability. Calcium aids in the absorption of vitamin D, and these two work together. Chlorine. Everyone knows that chlorine is a good cleaner. You can buy bottles of the stuff under various trade names and use it for doing your dishes or your washing. In the human body, chlorine is necessary, in limited quantities, of course, for the chlorine which we take cleans and disinfects the body cells, purifies the blood, helps in ridding the body of excessive accumulations of unwanted fats, and eliminates various impurities which get in one's joints and make one creak like a rusty hinge when one moves. Chlorine in controlled amounts is essential, and if one has a balanced diet, one finds that there are adequate supplies of chlorine in the everyday meals which we have. Copper. Copper is necessary, as we wrote before, in order that, together with chlorophyll, the latter coming from all green stuff of course, iron may be broken down to a form that the body can take and use. We shall deal with iron later. Copper can be classed as one of the trace elements because even a minute amount is enough to act as a catalyst. A catalyst is that which can act on another substance without necessarily becoming changed or destroyed in the process. Science has not discovered precisely how much copper is necessary, but even a minute trace will be adequate, and the ordinary balanced diet contains the necessary amount. Iodine. Iodine is quite essential for the correct functioning of the body. Everyone knows that seaweed, kelp, is rich in iodine, and another suitable source is seafood. Some time ago, people used to wear lockets containing a dab of iodine, but this was a mere psychological affair because the iodine has to be absorbed, and normal food contains adequate supplies. Iodine can cure goiter because that complaint is merely a dysfunction of the thyroid gland. Iodine corrects a deficiency and helps to regulate that gland. In many places remote from the sea, the natives of the place suffer from goiter, but it is rare indeed for a person to have goiter when living by the side of the sea, because even the rain contains a certain amount of iodine unless one is in a far distant area. Iron. Iron is another mineral. People who think of it as a metal forget that it is still a mineral. Probably everyone knows that we need iron, because without it we are not able to manufacture the red blood corpuscles which enable our bloodstream to absorb oxygen. If we lack oxygen, our brain becomes dull and eventually dies. So iron is a very, very necessary mineral. We cannot swallow a few nuts and bolts and say that we have had some iron. The iron has to be in a certain form, and then it has to be acted upon by chlorophyll and copper in order that it can undergo a chemical change within the body so that the various body cells can absorb it and use it. It is interesting to note that the ladies require more than their share of iron. The ladies need about 4 times as much iron for the same body weight as a man. This is because the former have various outputs which a man is delighted to avoid. Magnesium. Magnesium is a mineral which assists calcium in forming bones. If we lack magnesium, we are prone to tooth decay. It is quite an essential, as is calcium. Magnesium helps in the digestive system. In fact, if one gets a pain through indigestion, probably through eating too much, you cure the complaint by taking some magnesium tablets. We need an alkaline form of magnesium, and that can conveniently be obtained from nuts and in most types of fruit. Phosphorus. We also have to have phosphorus, you know, stuff which makes the ordinary kitchen match strike. Phosphorus is a highly combustible material. You may have seen experiments in a laboratory where a piece of phosphorus was taken out of the water in which it is usually stored. Immediately, it is so removed, and in the presence of air with its oxygen, it starts to smolder and give off dense white smoke. Phosphorus helps greatly in oxidizing various substances in the body and in giving alkalinity to the blood. Without having this alkaline blood, we cannot get rid of excess gases such as carbon dioxide. If we have our bloodstream cluttered up with carbon dioxide and excess nitrogen, then we have a cyanosed or blue appearance, because our blood is then oxygen starved. Phosphorus overcomes this by making room for oxygen.